I do have something, though, for you this morning that it's okay that I do this because I've already gone beyond that passage of Scripture in our Wednesday Bible study. You see, I try to stay away from, we're doing the book of Acts, Acts of the Apostles on Wednesday night. I'm telling you, people, if you're not there, you're missing. It's incredible. I mean, and not me, it's incredible. The word's incredible. The stories are incredible. The work of the Holy Spirit is incredible. And just going back through this book, it's incredible just to read how God did things. It's fantastic. So I'm not going beyond. Well, no, John, I'm not going to pull your stuff. But I am going to go Acts chapter 2 because I've been there. And I will hint at Acts chapter 5, and I know we haven't quite got through Acts chapter 5 yet, but I couldn't help myself. It just came on me. It's one of those kind of things. Aren't you glad that preachers never designed the church? Ever been to a church that the preacher was the guy that designed everything? I mean, you've never been to a church like that? Well, don't go. Because preachers don't have a clue. God is the only one that has a clue. And God set a design thousands of years ago for his church. And it's God's design. It's not my design. It's God's design. He said, this will work if you'll follow my design. Now, if you do what you want to do, it's not going to work. Oh, it may work for a while. You may gain through your popularity, through your personality, whatever, you may gain a group of people. That's great. That's wonderful. We got plenty of that going on. But do you have anything that's everlasting? Do you have something that will stand the test of time all the time? I don't think there's a person here today that wants to be part of a fellowship that's not blessed by God. Is that true? Isn't that true? We want to be in a place that God has a blessing that he wants to put on us. And that's why men don't determine what God can bless. Because God can bless anything that he chooses to bless. But he has criteria and priorities that he longs for all of us to follow. It's in his word. Isn't that amazing? He actually wrote it down. Hopefully you can read. Because this is what he says about it. I'm going to in Acts chapter 2. We're going to move down to verse 42 and to the end of the chapter. But God makes it very, very clear. I mean, he is so transparent with this. He always bases the quality of a church's life. That is what he will bless. But when there's quantity everywhere, that's not the key. That's not the key at all. If we're running everywhere doing everything, that's not the key. He said it's the quality. What in our life is quality? He is. He's the only quality. Christ is the only quality in our lives that makes a difference. And if Christ is not present in our lives, there's not going to be any quality. I mean, you may have some good stuff. You may, you know, some of you ladies are very good looking and all that kind of stuff. It's okay. Margaret's sitting right there. It's okay. I said it. You know, all of these things may be true. And some of you guys think you're handsome. Well, let me vote on that for you. Never mind. But a church that longs to be blessed can only be blessed if its members, that's us, all of us, me included in that, stay on his priorities. That's right. We have a lot of things that we love to emphasize. And there's a lot of good things that are being emphasized. But if they're not God's priorities, you don't have anything. So that's why I always enjoyed the great book of the Acts of the Apostles. And what God said, these are the things that are important. It's a fantastic book. Unbelievable. You just have to get yourself into it. And you can lose yourself in it because it is so wondrous. So today I'm going to pick up chapter 2 and verse 42. And we're going to read why God said, I have a blessing. And I will bless this church because of this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon all the souls. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had a need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. These were the ideals of the early church. This is what God said. And it was a reflection of God. It wasn't a reflection of a man, because they didn't have anybody that they could build off of except for Jesus Christ. And he said, this is my ideals. These are my standards by which I will bless a church. And that means any church. It means any fellowship. I will bless them. I don't care what your denomination is. I don't care what name you want to brand yourself with. Doesn't make any difference. It says, if you do these things, I can bless that. So what kind of fellowship or what kind of church can God bless? Well, he can bless the kind of church that he talks about right here. He blesses, number one, the church that keeps his priorities. That's the only church he'll bless. And if we don't do that, he made it clear, he's not going to bless that. He's going to. But that's why he could bless the church in Jerusalem. He could bless this early church in Jerusalem because they kept his priorities. There are four simple priorities. They weren't difficult. They're listed for us in verse 42. He talks about it right there. These are the priorities that they follow because God said, follow these priorities and you will get them. Well, what were they? They started off, he said, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrines and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. I mean, they're simple. You know, this is not a complicated thing, people. This is a very simple thing. You don't have to have a PhD to get this. In fact, I would appreciate if you didn't have one, because you'd probably overthink it, as many have overthought this thing. His priority, number one, was what? Teaching. Teach the word of God. This is what he gives us right here. I want to teach only the things that God said. Not man's opinion about it. What did God say? This is the content of his teaching. These are the things that Jesus gave to the apostles. And what did he say? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't invent some doctrine. How many denominations do you think we have in the world today? Because men have a tendency to write their own doctrine. They have a tendency to make out what is good for them. And how they see it and what they do with it. He said, I want you to honor the office of the apostles that I have given to you. You know that's still true today? We are to honor that office of a pastor, a preacher, a teacher. We're to honor those things because this is what God said. Why? Because we long to absorb the teachings of God. That's what the key is. That's the first key. It will always be the greatest key right there. God said, I can bless that. I can bless my word. I can stand on my word. If you have a teachable spirit, God said, I can bless you too. But if you don't have a teachable spirit, I know what I believe. Really? That's not a teachable spirit, people. A teachable spirit says, you may think you know what you believe, but my word envelops us and goes out every single day. He brings new things to us all the time. If you set your priorities upon his word, he'll show you. Well, I've read the Bible 10 times. What? One verse 10 times? Or did you read the whole thing 10 times? Or... You know, I've read through the Bible a lot of times. You ask me where that's found, I have no clue. Sorry, I don't. I can find it. I mean, I'm not the walking encyclopedia as I have some of my friends are right here. They can tell you everything about it. They even know what Moses' dog's name was. Moses did have a dog, didn't he? See, I can't remember if he had a dog or he didn't have a dog. No, Aaron was his brother. I don't want to hear about that part. Okay. You see, they said, I will put my blessings on you that will adhere to my teaching, that want to hear the word of God spoken, to read from the scripture, to find out. He said, that's my first priority for you. Follow the word. The second priority that it came right along, just follows it right along, goes hand in hand with it. He said, fellowship. That's what the church is. It's fellowship. That's what God created the church for. I mean, we gave it a great name, Ecclesia, the church. It's all about that. But he said, you need to be devoted to the fellowship, which means what? Well, that you're devoted to each other. You're devoted to come together. You're devoted to do the things that are the basic things of every fellowship. And a fellowship is about what? Teaching. What was his emphasis about that fellowship? The risen Jesus Christ. That was the main emphasis right there. What did they preach? What did they have to preach? Only the things that Jesus taught them. And the first and the biggest was always about Jesus is risen from the dead. That was what they were teaching. What did that do? Well, it brought fellowship. And it brought more than fellowship. It brought such a glorious joy to that group that everybody go, man, we need to find out what's going on over there. We need to see what they've got. You see, that's what authentic fellowship is about. And I mean real fellowship. It always starts with the right teaching of the word. That's exactly what it started. He said, man, this is what I'm giving you. This is what's important. So he moves from doctrine to fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Well, what did that mean? They all had to get together. I mean, Baptists would never get there. They only want chicken. They don't only want chicken. I like filet mignon, and I want it medium rare. About that thing, you know. That's why I'm a Methabaptococcal. That'll get some of y'all figured out one day, too. There was a priority here, people. It was called worship. And this is the very thing, said the breaking of bread, communion. The communion, honoring who Christ was. This is my body which was broken for you. This is the blood that I shed for you upon Calvary's cross. These are the things. What was it so important? This is one of my priorities right here. And a church that submits to the ordinances and the very things that God has given, the practice of worship, coming together, singing. Yeah. Wasn't that a great song? Singing, what does it do? Well, it opens prison doors. What's a prison? Probably me. My heart. I was captivated by sin. And God said, by his very word, it opened my heart. And it set the prisoner free. I think I can get a testimony out of Mark in the back for that one right there. Right, Mark? Didn't that set you free? It set you free. I know it did. And what did it bring to each one of us? When it came down to this, they stayed, they broke bread together daily. They stayed in their fellowship together daily. They didn't isolate themselves off from each other. Well, I can do this and I can do that. No, you know, the strength is in the fellowship. It's power in the fellowship and in the joy that Christ has given us. And then the fourth one, which is really is one of the greatest ones of all that, is a prayer. Is the very time that God has given. A church that God can bless knows the means by which it is given. Because that means is called prayer. And where does it end? It's the balance of that. I got the means, and it's called prayer. I'm seeking his face. I'm calling on his name. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will guide me in whatever he wants me to do. And he will show us exactly what it is. But what we mess up on, and men, preachers, we're real good at this. We mess up on this all the time. We want to know how. We want to know the mechanics. Southern gospel music's a great music. You know that? It is. It really is. It's great. It's a great genre of music. Can I tell you something? This isn't the Gaither group right here. You may think you are, but I promise you, I've heard you. You're not the Gaithers. But we weren't intended to be the Gaithers. The Gaithers are unique, and they do what they do. The songs you sing now, they're unique. But we're not that main group, but we are unique because we're singing as we worship him. In the way, the same thing it is with prayer. How do you pray? I just pray with my heart. What words do you use? Aren't they unique to you? I mean, if you're praying, now I lay me down to sleep and think that's the Lord's Prayer. Okay, well, the prayer that comes from your heart may not be some word that you can understand, but if the Spirit takes that word and he says, this is one of my priorities, that God is interested in that priority, is that I want to speak to him. This is not going to be first church. Just not. But it doesn't need to be. We don't need to be something that we're not. We need to be who God made you uniquely and in this fellowship. And he said, I can bless that when you don't want to try to be somebody else. You know, I have so many people, friends, they're worried about their public image. Well, I can tell you this. Put the priorities where they belong. God will take care of the image. I'd love to have an image that people go, wow, all they want to do is praise God. What a great image. Isn't that what fellowship is about? Isn't that what the church is about? He said, I can bless that. Because he began that very thing. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Those are priorities. It's not mechanics. It's called, I've already set them for you. All you got to do is follow them. And if you follow them, I can bless that. I know, I spent time on that. What can a church be blessed? A church can be blessed, the second thing, if its members absolutely trust each other. Didn't see that one coming, did you? But it's true. Ever been in a church that, you know, we got two aisles here. Now, wouldn't it be terrible if this group over here didn't get along with this group over here? And this group down the middle here was the buffer zone? I'd move my seat if I were you, people. That's what I'd do. That's why I always stay up here. That's the buffer zone right now. God said, I can bless a church that every member absolutely loves another member. I can't bless it when there's discord. I won't bless it when there's discord. I won't bless it when it's being pulled apart. Look what he says here. He went down, verse 43, said, this is your public image. And the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That was their public image because they followed all the priorities that were found in verse 42. But in verse 44, he says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. That's a hard thing. You know, that's a tough thing. People say, that's nothing but communism. Can I tell you this? That it had nothing to do with communism. It had everything to do with a love for each other. When there was a need, somebody helped meet that need. You know, we're talking about thousands of people. We're not talking about two or three. We're not talking about, I got a family over here that needs some help. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, this is the early church, and it was a hard concept for us today. Well, how could that ever work? Well, when they saw a need, they met the need. You know, when God's Spirit moves upon you, you don't care about what you got. You really don't. I know it's a, well, I've got this nice place and I've got all this thing. When you trust people completely, absolutely, and their mind and their heart is on your, like your heart, then you can do that. You can give. You got something, you could share it. You could take them in. You could help them. You can do whatever you choose to do if God is working in your heart. This is the church that God can bless. They had that. You know, how many times have I heard it? We want a New Testament church. I'm going to go, really? Think about it. You want a New Testament church? I don't think so. Why? We want to hang on to our stuff. Well, they just need to go do this. Maybe they need us to help. Maybe they need to help make them meet that need until they can get the need met themselves, until they can come to that place. But it only comes when you trust each other. You all have to have that same spirit. You all have to focus on that way. They gave a public image, and it just wasn't, look at me, I did something. No. What they did in public, they did in private. What they were to each other here was what they projected out here because it was real. It wasn't some fakey thing that they put on. That was the New Testament church. That's the early church. The early church was so focused upon Jesus, they didn't care about the rest of it. Do you realize, come to Acts, come on Wednesday night, you're going to learn a little bit of these things, that there were those in there that had money or had something. What did they do with that thing? Well, they sold it. Why would they sell it? Well, they want to be communists. No, that's not why they sold it. They sold it because it was voluntary and God moved on their heart to say, there's a need over here. This is something extra you've got. Why don't you share that need? And they did. And I'm not telling you to go do something, share this, go sell that, do this. No, I'm not saying that at all. That's why it's not my design, it's God's design. That's why I'm saying this is what God can bless when they trusted one another completely. That's the kind of people that God can bless. Look, move on down a little bit. What did it get to them? What did it provide for them? Look at verse 47. He says, praising God and having favor with all people. You know, people see genuineness. I love that about children. They know if you're a fake. They do. They can see right through you. You say, well, they don't know any better. They probably know a lot better than all of us know. Because they see exactly what it was that meant something. Okay, John, plug your ears, because I'm jumping to Acts chapter 5. We haven't got through Acts chapter 5. I didn't want you to hear that I was skipping ahead of what I normally do. You know how serious God was about trusting each other? In the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, it begins with a story about two people, Ananias and Sapphira. And Ananias and Sapphira, for you that do not know, they were two people that were within the church. They said they sold something, and they said they brought all the money and they gave it to the disciples' feet, which is exactly what they said they did, but it was a lie. What did they do it for? They did it for their own glory. Look at me, I gave this. Look at me, I'm big. I do all these things. They lied, but they didn't just lie to people. They lied to God. They lied unto the Holy Spirit. And as the Word of God talks about in the fifth chapter, and you'll get to hear more of it as you show up on Wednesday night, they're dead! I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare you. Well, maybe I did. No, I didn't. That's exactly what happened. They lied to the Holy Spirit, and God took them up. Dropped dead of a heart attack. Hello, is God calling me? Margaret said, I yelled too loud, so she turned on her phone. This is what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. And then his wife, Sapphira, comes along. They've already got Ananias. He craters right there on the spot. And then all of a sudden, she comes up. 3 hours later, she shows up. And what takes place? She comes in. She didn't know her husband's dead. She didn't know anything about it. And Peter asked her, said, hey, did you guys sell that property? And she said, yes. She said, did you sell it for this amount? And she said, well, yes, we did. He said, why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? Oh, no, no. Why would you lie to the Holy Spirit? Do you understand that your husband's dead because you lied to the Holy Spirit? And now you're complicit in that lie, and you're lying to the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, she hits the ground. Dead. And they carried her out and buried her. You say, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Come on Wednesday night, you'll find out a whole lot more. That's how serious God was about trusting each other. That's how serious God says I am today in blessing a fellowship, a blessing a church. Blessing people that only are interested in taking care of this church. They're not interested in anything other than that. They're not interested in anything that will do for them or anything that will make something great. No, none of that. The breach of trust was so serious in the early church. He said, you've got to have confidence in each other that we're going to do only the things that can be blessed by God. And we're not going to go away from that. That's what a fellowship can be blessed today. But it can only be blessed when you trust each other. God's design, not mine. That's what he said he would do, and that's what he has done. You know, God's sovereign. He chooses to do the things he chooses to do. And he chooses to do it this way. But he said, you, my children, need to have a mutual trust with each other. This is what I got to have. I got to have that if I can continue to bless you. Let me go back into the second chapter. I love the second chapter. He goes on and he talks a little bit further down. He says, in verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Wow. They did it together. They did it with joy. They did it with everything that was blessed. But he ends that passage right there, the last verse, at the very last sentence in that last verse, he said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You want to know why I ask every person that comes to this church as a visitor, is this where God wants you to be? Because I don't want to go against that priority. I don't want you here if this is not where God wants you. No. And I love people. I want people. I'd love to see this, every seat filled, balcony filled. That'd be fantastic. But if that's not God in that, if God's not growing his church, then you don't need to be here. But I praise God that you are here because I think you need to be here. I think I need to be here. Well, sometimes I don't think I need to be here, but Margaret makes me come anyway. You see, the only number that counts is God's numbers. It's not about a big church. I mean, praise God for big churches. I mean, if that's where people want to be, I have some friends, they said, well, we go over here. And I said, you go over there to hide. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just point blank about some things. And that's what they do. They went over there to hide in the fellowship. You know, I see you. I see every one of you every Sunday, and it's great. You can't hide here. There's not enough places to hide this building. But some churches, that's what people do. They go and hide. God can't bless that. And God's not going to bless that. We come to church to fellowship together. We come here to enjoy as God has added. I praise God over what he has added to our fellowship recently. In the last couple months, it's been fantastic. Who's here? God's people. Because this is where God put them. Is this the best place for them? Well, it is. According to God, it's his best place. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. But I know this about this particular crowd. Unless God is in it, we don't have anything. God can't bless something unless we're in it. You see, when our priorities are his priorities, he said, I'll bless that. That's all that 42 through 47 of the second chapter of Acts is talking about. These are God's priorities. This is his church. This is his design. This is what he wants. And he said, I'll do something beyond your wildest imagination if you'll just follow what I give you. This is my design. This is what I want to do. And at church, if you're bold enough, I mean, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. If you're bold enough to be dedicated to those priorities, I promise you this, we couldn't keep people away because God's blessing would be upon it. Now, what do we need to do? Well, we need to work hard to continue his priorities. seek them out. Find out, what is God saying to me? What is God saying to you? How does he want to grow his church? He said, I want to grow my church. Jesus said that. He's the one that's going to grow it. He's the one that's going to do it. But how? What is my part? I'm going to stick to his priorities. I'm going to stay in the fellowship. I'm going to stay in the teaching of the word. I'm going to do the things that are so important. I am going to spend my time understanding. I'm going to come into the fellowship. I'm going to be the communion. I'm going to do prayers. I'm going to do everything because these are his priorities. And he said, I'll bless that. And he has blessed us, people. He has. He's blessed us with many of you today. And it's always a blessing to me. But I know one thing, it glorifies the Father. And that's the real key of all this. I've got a design, but I learned a long time ago, my design doesn't count. I got a way things I want it done, and that's not what counts. I can never afford to lose track of his priorities, and neither can you. You want God's blessing on your life? You want God's blessing? I think everyone, I'm going to end with what I started with. We all want to be part. If you're a sincere believer, you want to belong to a church whose fellowship is blessed by God. Follow his priorities, and God will continue to bless us. Right? Let's pray.